And a very pleasant Sunday evening, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys Network. Thanks for being with us this evening. Your host for our program tonight is the newly enlightened Mark Meek. Good evening, sir.
Thank you, Jim. You kind of stole my thunder there.
Well, you've made a comment a time or two in recent weeks that you're having difficulty seeing because the light bulb above your head was out.
I was going to make some comment to you about the light, and you made it first.
Oh, I'll beat you because I was the announcer here. But, yes, yeah, so Mark is newly enlightened. He can't make that comment tonight. I changed the light bulb above his head before we started the program tonight.
It was very difficult last week, I must say.
Well, I was really, you touched me because you were struggling trying to read that, and I thought, if I had just noticed that before the program started, I would have changed the light bulb. Well,
somebody probably got a substandard reading of the Gospels last week because I was struggling with that.
The visually impaired Mark version. So.
Yeah. Well, how's your week?
It's been a crazy week. I've driven a lot of miles this week for some reason and had some complications with some equipment that required multiple trips to a location. Oddly enough, I was working for another Christian ministry and one of their radio stations is located at Dalhart. And I promise you, I don't schedule the music that plays on the radio station I own. But twice this week, I've heard Red Steagall sing that long, lonesome road to Dalhart. And I just think it's God's way of ribbing me and having a
little
good
God's humor
of,
there.
Yeah, it has a good sense of humor. It was a long, lonesome road to Dalhart, I believe, four times this week. But
So don't you have a radio station at Clayton, New Mexico?
I take care of a Christian radio station at Clayton, yes.
So, man, that's just that much further and that much more lonely.
Yeah, it is, because if you think it's tough between Dumas and Dalhart, that line between Dalhart and Texline, it's pretty long old road, yeah.
Hey, let me tell you a quick story.
Tell me a quick story, Mark.
So we're going on that road, mm-hmm. and we're coming in to the south side of Texline.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as we get there, the road in Texline doesn't have a median in the center.
Right, but it goes to four lanes.
You get it right on the south side of town, and there's a median there. Mm-hmm. And so just as we get there to the end of that, where that was coming together, all of a sudden there was a gate. Not all of a sudden there was a gate, but... I realized there was a detail that I forgot. There was a gate over here on the right. We were going north, I guess, northwest,
kind
whatever.
Of west, northwest there, yeah.
Yeah, so we were, and there was a van right in front of us, just a little ways. And there, the road with a gate over here on the right, and it was just about where that comes together. Mm-hmm. And we were just driving along, and it was driving. And I was watching, and all of a sudden there was a car coming from the north going south or whichever direction.
That'd be correct, yeah.
And all of a sudden it just turned sideways and shot over there to that gate and just hit that van.
Wow.
And that van went airborne. And, I mean, it was up in the air sideways. It was laying on its side sideways. And we stopped, of course, and the guy in the car was fine. But in the van, there was a family in there, and there was seven or eight of them in there. And it was one of these newer vans that has a real tall...
The extended top on it, yeah.
Yeah, you can imagine is throwing them around.
Yeah, I imagine it was, yeah.
Because they... some young people in the back, and they probably weren't belted in.
Right.
And so then they started crawling out the windows, man, it was quite a traumatic scene.
Wow, and you got to witness that.
Yeah, we were right there, on it. And it started stopping traffic, and I started trying to help the family out, you know. And it was kind of a bad way to start out our little trip
we were going on. Mark, you're going to have to grab that other microphone. I think yours is going to make some noise on us there. I've driven that road quite a number of times. The 10 years that I lived in Colorado and drove back and forth to Texas and to see Mom and to come to here to see the rest of the family and so forth. And I had the privilege of driving Highway 87 across New Mexico during the time frame when they were converting that to a four-lane. Originally, I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go to Eagle Nest all the time and drive that Highway 87 across there, and it was just miserable going from Clayton to Raton across there. And I enjoyed tremendously driving that road back and forth as little bits, little by little, section by section, it became a four lane. And so now it's a wonderful drive across New Mexico because they fixed that road.
Yeah. Except it's so boring.
It is wide open spaces. I can tell you every bump and curve in the road. I've driven it so many times. But it's also kind of redeeming. I remember
back in the day when this was a two-lane.
But it's really a nice highway now.
I can remember when it was a two-lane.
Yeah.
An interesting little thing. Yeah. My sister, older sister, taught school in Clayton, New Mexico for a year.
Okay.
So we went out there and picked her up and went over to Red River. And it was my first foray into Red River.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back before they fixed the highway and you went down a switchback.
You remember
that?
I do, because we went through there a lot when I was a kid. Yeah.
From
Springer over to through Ute Park and Cimarron and up that. It was.
But then this was right where you were going down the mountain into Red River itself.
You kind of went over the hill and then went down in the valley to get the Red River. Yep. Well, I rode that when I was a child.
So, those are old times that probably people up there would just as well forget.
They would rather those good old days be gone. Yeah.
They probably thank God all the time for a good highway.
For a nice highway through there.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I tell people all the time, did you ever think the day would come when you could say there is a four-lane highway through Twitty, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I had to laugh about that when they made that four-lane all the way through Twitty. And wow, this metro area of Twitty now has a four-lane highway through it. So.
You know, Jim, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Probably not very many of our listeners even know where Twitty, Texas is.
Well, they should Google that on their map and realize how close they are to a famous place like Twitty, Texas.
Well, they probably, if they've been down 83 Highway between Wheeler and Shamrock, they probably blinked about the time they went through and never realized.
I'm old enough to remember because when I met you in about 1987, Twitty still had a post office.
Yeah.
It's now part of the Shamrock post office area, but it had a standalone post office in Twitty.
Yes. Yeah. Was there a store there?
The little general store. The post office was at the little general store, and I've stopped there before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one time that Twitty was a going Jesse. They had a cotton press and all kinds of stuff there and all those ruins of buildings that are out there on the
southeast side of town. Yep.
Feed mill. I don't know what all. It might not have been a cotton press. It was a feed mill.
Okay. I know it's big. There's big old steel buildings are still hanging around out there.
Yeah, slowly deteriorating and falling down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, how'd we get off on that subject?
Let's see. We went from this to this to this.
We call that chasing a rabbit trail, don't we?
Well, I started out by telling about a wreck I saw, and then you actually started out talking about going to Dalhart.
Right.
And hearing Red Steagle. Anybody that followed us through that, they're
very special people.
Yes, they are.
They don't realize it's getting late in the day, and we can get off on a rabbit trail if we're not careful.
They're almost as genius as we are, you know.
Well, tell me, you've got a subject tonight.
I do have a subject tonight.
Okay.
I've kind of had my subject curiosity pricked.
Uh-oh. Well, that happened last week, too.
Last week was sort of a fun deal.
Yeah.
and found out about all those sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hadn't had anybody all week talk to me about sheep, but so.
Okay.
I don't know if I just wasn't with the sheep people or what.
I don't know. Guy around the corner from my place has sheep and has two big old white Great Pyrenees that wrangle those sheep around.
He's not sacrificing them, is he?
No, he's not. He's not. I don't think he's even raising them for that. I also got some goats, and them Great Pyrenees are good for that, too.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful dogs.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're big.
Big, that's right.
Yeah. Friendly.
Yes.
That's good.
Sometimes a little overly friendly, but.
Yeah. Well, I got kind of, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he started talking to me about the subject of the heart. And so I got to looking in the scriptures, and I really had my interest focused really, I just came into focus on that word and started looking at it in the Bible and see what the heart really is. And so I want to talk a little bit about the heart, but I've got to lead up to it, because when you look in the Bible, you'll find out that everything's not always as cut and dried as what we think it is. And
so, maybe we got some traditions that say it's a little cut and dried and it's really not.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, it's the traditions of God, of man, that make the word of God of none effect.
That sounds familiar, Mark.
Yeah, I think we heard that just a minute ago.
Yeah.
So, I actually heard Dwayne Sheriff just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Talking about that. And so, anyway, I need to kind of do a little background, and I don't know how far I'll get in this I just got a text and from one of our listeners, and he said in the 1960s, that's a long time ago. Let's see how long ago that would be. That would be,
60 years ago. Cause I was born then. So
we ate lunch in Tweety while coyote hunting with Cecil Meadows and others. Now he's starting to pull some names up there that have been, hadn't been around for a while.
They've been around a while in Wheeler County, yeah.
But Jimmy Yowl, I do remember the coyote hunters. And I have a funny Cecil Meadows story to tell. Cecil's our old neighbors and almost relatives, not quite, but my dad's sister was married to Cecil's brother, and my mother's brother was married to Cecil's sister.
Oh.
So I just thought they were all our relatives.
In a double kind of way, they are.
Yeah, so. Well, yeah, but Cecil was kind of in the middle. He wasn't really related to us.
Right.
But Cecil's an old friend. And Cecil loved a coyote hunt. He and my cousin Zane, they went every day just about, and they had no pickup, and they had a dog box on it and had five or six dogs in it, and they'd chase coyotes all over the country and tear up their pickups. But I lived right north of the Gagebee store on 83 Highway, and I had a wheat field that run down, and every morning there was two coyotes that would set out there on that wheat field. And I met Cecil several times, and he would look away from those coyotes, and he would never turn out on them. And I finally figured out one day why he wouldn't. I was up at my house, and I heard dogs barking. And about that time, two coyotes came running right past me where I was standing. They ran into my barn, and my barn had two open doors on it. They ran right through my barn, went through all the way through the barn out the other door, and then just kind of trotted off. And those dogs, they get there, and they couldn't see the coyotes because they chased by sight. They couldn't see the coyotes because they'd gone through the barn. And those dogs would just run up and down out there looking for those coyotes. Well, Cecil, those coyotes had done that to those dogs so many times that he wouldn't turn out on them because
he knew they wasn't going to catch them.
He knew they weren't going to catch those coyotes. It was funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, another little interesting story about that. My mother was born in 1919, and Cecil Meadows was born in 1919, and my mother's cousin, Rosemary Dodd, was born in 1919. And my mother passed first. She was 92, I believe. And then Cecil passed, and he got up to about 96. And Mary Margaret is still alive, and she's 100. Let's see.
Be 102.
102 this year. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Is she so old that she's the old Dame Dodd that the Jack and Jill poems written about?
Well, I don't know, but she's still really healthy and spry. So
that's a wonderful thing to see.
Yes. Yeah. So lives right down here on Main Street in Wheeler. So
we're educating the folks that are
listening. We're fine. Jimmy, Al, you started out all kinds.
See what you've done, Jimmy. Gracious.
Yeah, it's good night. Don't bother us here. I really thank
you. Now, the question is, can Mark get back on track from where he was when Jimmy texted him?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about something else here other than coyote hunting. So I want to look at, first of all, I want to look at spirit, soul, and body, and I want to identify where the heart is and kind of what it does tonight. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, that's not right. Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart, making you completely holy, and may your entire being, spirit, soul, and body, be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus." So, out of that scripture and out of several others, I'm not going to go into any more detail. We are a spirit being. We have a soul and we live in a body. And I kind of like to represent this, since we're not doing TV or.
We're thankful for that, but no, this is not by video, so you're going to have to describe that.
So I'm going to have to describe it like three circles that overlap, just a little bit on one side. And you know, you can take, if you want to make a, take your pencil and make three of those circles, overlap them, and then color the overlap area where they overlap. That you can do that. And then from right, from left to right, it would be spirit on one side, soul in the other, and then the body on the other side. And so, I want to point out a couple of more scriptures. 1 Peter 1:23. I thought I was going to remember these and quote them for you, but I do not. And so Jim got the light fixed, and I'm going to read this out of my Bible. 1 Peter 1:23, it says, it doesn't say what I thought it said. It says in the King James Version that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And so there's some part of us that has been born again, and we're, according to 1 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things become new. So those scriptures indicate there's a part of us that is has become new. And 1 John 4:17 says, what does it say? It says that as he is, talking about Jesus in this world, so are we. So when I got born again, there was a part of me that became just like Jesus. And there was a part of me that stayed just like it was My body didn't change. I was still recognizable as Mark. I was, I still had a wart on my finger. Any other distinguishable characteristics that I had was the same. I've heard it said if you were fat, you didn't become skinny. And if you were skinny, you didn't become fat. So, you know, your body didn't change. Your soulish man probably had some kind of change to it, because your soulish man is your mind, will, and emotions. And so there was probably some change that took place. But in your spirit, man, you were born again. And just like when Adam sinned, we had a sin nature that come into us. We had the life nature of Jesus come into us when we were born again. So we have a spirit, or we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we possess a soul, and we have a body. Now, the part that where this gets interesting, and you know, you can find what I've just been saying in a lot of places, and where this gets kind of interesting is the overlap area, and that's where I'm headed towards, is the overlap of the first two, the spirit and the soul. I believe that's the heart, that part that you can color in. It's kind of a crescent shape. You can color that in, and that's the heart. And then between the soulish man and the body, we have the brain. That's control center of the body. So your mind, your will, and emotion is part of your soulish man. Your physical brain is the connection to the body. The thoughts and intents of your soulish man go through that to get to the body. So you have the spirit, soul, and body, and you have the heart and the brain as the connector.
Because the brain is a physical part of the body in which we live.
Right.
And when we cease living, when this body stops its natural functions and we clinically die, then that brain clinically dies as well. But our soul, which is a different connection back to the spirit, lives on.
That's right.
So I think that's, I understand you threw me off for a second, but I think that's the understanding,
right,
of what the three circles and the difference between the soul and the brain is, because
yeah,
it's intricately tied to the physical body.
And when you look these words up in the Greek, which the King James goes back to the Greek language, when you look that up in a Greek dictionary, you'll find that those are different words. So there's definitely a difference. And so you somehow or another, you've got to fit this all together. And I think that in my mind, this is a pretty good way to do it. So I just want to mention this. Our bodies are like an earth suit. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, you know, when we die, or what he said was, if you don't get your healing now, you'll get it later. You ever heard people say that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm not sure I know where they get that from the scripture, but.
Well, I don't think they do, because, your body, when it dies, it dies. I mean, we stick it in a pine box or a tin coffin or whatever you want to call it.
Or incinerate it. So.
Or incinerate it.
Yeah.
So your body's, it's dead. So if it's dead, how can sickness and disease bother it any longer? You know, and people say things, well, there's no sickness in heaven. Well, that's for sure, because
no,
we left it behind when our bodies stayed here.
Yeah.
And so our soulish man and our spirit at the death of the body, I believe, go to be with the Lord. And at some point, we'll come back and be reunited with the body. And so everybody knows that. So here's kind of the way this flows. Life flow. Our spirit man is connected to God. And so once we're born again, the life flow moves from God to our spirit, to our soul, to our body. And it's sort of like a train. And the spirit is sort of like the engine. And then the body is sort of like a caboose. So this is the way it should work. Your spirit should be leading your soulish man and your body. But here's what happens too many times. Our body, the caboose, is the one that we're putting all the attention to. And we're leading with the caboose instead of leading with the engine. That doesn't work very good. Unless you're going downhill. Oh, we don't want to go downhill, do we? We'll go uphill.
No, you don't. So.
So if you're going downhill, the caboose it doesn't have to have any power to move you along. You just inertia. So that's kind of my description of all spirit, soul, and body, heart and brain. I guess I ought to think up a little song to go spirit, soul, and body, heart and brain.
Don't quit your day job, Mark.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were going to put me on the radio.
Yeah. let's go back. Let's go back to the teaching.
Okay. So then I decided I would look what's in my spirit man. What does the Bible say is in my spirit man? If it, you know, is it just a blank in there? Is there anything in my spirit man? And then if the engine is pulling the caboose and you've got your soulish man and everything, how do you get things to move from your spirit? If the flow is from spirit to soul to body, how do you get the flow of life from spirit, soul to body instead of body, soul to spirit? And I think that's a good question.
I think it's a very legitimate question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we talk about these things and have cliches, but sometimes we just kind of don't really follow through. So I want to talk to you, first of all, about what your spirit man looks like. What's in there? What's it made of? I mean, is it just some white ghost-looking thing on the inside of you? I mean, Casper the Friendly Ghost or something like that? I mean, people have all kinds of weird ideas about this. So I'm gonna just mention some things here that are contained, according to the Scriptures, within us. And so it's got to be in this place where we're as he is, so are we in this world. It has to be in the spirit realm. And so the first one I want to point out is that we have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about that and talks about having the mind of the spirit. And so we have the mind of Christ. Now, I'd love to have the mind of Einstein or the mind of Socrates or the mind of some great, you know, intellectual person or somebody that's really made their mark on the world because of their great genius. And I'd really like to have that, but I believe I would rather have the mind of Christ. the mind of God. That's what you'd be getting if you got the mind of Christ, would be getting the mind of God. And somebody that can create this whole thing, can explain this whole thing, is a better, that's a better source in me than just the mind of Einstein. You know, have you ever watched that program, Baby Einstein or something like that?
No, but no. You're going to tell me about it.
Well, so. I was just going to ask you. I thought if you had, you'd have some comment.
No.
But the other thing, another thing that we have in our born again spirit, we have our spirit. I mean, we are born again. But the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our spirit. So it's not just a thing where I have me in there. I have him in there. Born again of the incorruptible seed, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. I have the Holy Spirit. And since I have the Holy Spirit, I have God's divine power on the inside of me. Now, Jim, I'm not just talking about myself and you, because I know we're very special people and all, but I'm talking about every one of us that have received Christ into their life and been born again, have the Holy Spirit. They have divine power on the inside of them. They have, and here's one that'll really get them. The love of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Even though we don't feel it someday.
Yeah. And listen, that part, the heart is part of the spirit, but it's also part of the soul. It's where it meets in there.
Because it's tied to our emotions.
It's tied to our whole being.
And our whole being, yeah.
Yeah. So we have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We have divine power. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the life of Christ in us. Now, the life of Christ is very interesting because, you see, that is an extension of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword was put there to keep man from getting back to that tree of life.
Because he could have partaken of that tree.
And live forever.
And live forever, yes.
And in his fallen state, that would not have been a very pretty situation.
Yeah. It was bad enough they lived 900 years.
God wasn't trying to prevent them from something good. He was trying to protect them from themselves. And so he put the flaming sword there. But then when Jesus came, he is the tree of life. Everything symbolic about him, what did he do? He hung on a tree. Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. That's what Galatians says. The trees were very important. What did Jesus do? He cursed the fig tree. Trees were something that was very symbolic. Jesus was trying to convey a message that the life that was in the garden, the tree of life, he was that tree. He was that. And so when you partake of him, then you partake in your spirit and in your heart, and you have the life of Christ on the inside of you. Now, for all you people out there that have never heard anything like this, I'll just tell you, there's somebody that has a vested interest in you not knowing this, and that is the enemy of our souls. He does not want you to know that you or through Jesus, you can partake once again of the tree of life. Now there's something else that I've got in my spirit is I'm born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed. I have the divine nature of Christ, the divine nature. And I think it's over in 2 Peter, and it talks about partakers of his divine nature. And so we have all these things. Another thing we have, and it talks about in Hebrews, is we have the very word of God written on our heart. So, man, we're full of it.
And Some of us have been accused of that a long time ago, Mark.
I was going to say that's kind of a play on words, but we're full of God. We've got all these things on the inside of us. Listen, we take this word, we take this Bible and we start reading it. There's something already inside of us that starts agreeing with
that. It'll agree with that, yeah. It'll resonate. Yeah.
And the Bible says, if any two shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them. In another place it says, what does it say? Well, I'm not pulling it up right now, but it talks about agreement between two. And so that's what we're having here. We're having agreement between what we read in the Word and what's written on our heart already. And so when we're sitting there and, man, we're reading, sudden that thing, it starts jumping off the page as it, and we start thinking about all these other scriptures that tie into that, and it just starts really making sense to you. Is because you have the mind of Christ, you have the very word of God written on your heart, you have the divine nature of Christ on the inside of you, you have the life of Christ, you have the love of God, you have divine power, and you have His Holy Spirit. And listen, if that's not enough to get you through this life victoriously, it's because the traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. And so we got to get over our traditions of men. And that's what I'm saying. If you've never heard anything like this, it's probably because you've heard the traditions of men. So go on here. Let's see what else I've got written down. Did I mention a nurse suit a while ago?
You did mention that. I've heard that term used on several occasions.
Yeah, our body is our earth suit. You can't live here without it.
Right.
And Jim, you know, one thing that a lot of people kind of miss out on is that they think we're all just going to go to heaven and live up there forever. But the Bible says that we are reunited with our bodies. And when we're reunited with our bodies, that puts us right back here. And if you read the scriptures, you'll figure out that heaven comes down to earth and God makes His abode with us on the earth.
That's what it says in the Revelation. Yeah.
That's right. And so, we get our earth bodies, we get our earth suits back.
But they're not going to be in the same condition we left them in.
No, they're definitely not.
No,
and
there is the school of thought that believes that when we receive that earth suit back, that glorified body that it's referred to, that it's going to be when our body was in its prime.
Yeah.
And we know that Christ gave Himself for us when He was in the prime of His life. As the perfect sacrifice. So it's, Mark, you're going to, what'd you look like when you were in your early 30s, you know?
Man, I looked good.
I had hair.
Well, I was a little slimmer and trimmer.
Well, I think most of us were.
Our Earth's, we're going to get this back. And you know, when right now we're redeemed and we have this new spirit man,
within us. Yeah.
And then when we die and go to heaven, our mind is going to be renewed totally.
Yeah.
And right now we're in this process. Now let me answer one question that I asked while ago I've never answered. How do you get the mind of Christ, the life of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and all these things out of your spirit man through your heart into your soulish man and then
through your brain and into your body?
And into your body. How does that happen? How do you get this flow going? How does that happen? Well, the Bible that we're transformed. It says, don't be conformed to the to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I believe the key to get the flow going is to get my mind renewed.
Because that's the first step.
That's the first step. And so I get my mind renewed, then I can, it'll begin to release through me. Now, let me kind of, show you how this works. But, you know, I can remember a time in my life when I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I went to a church where they didn't even mention the Holy Spirit, and I'm not even sure that I even knew there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. And so, I started dating this beautiful woman, young woman, and, she knew something about the Holy Spirit, and her mother knew something about the Holy Spirit, and they went to a church where they knew about the Holy Spirit. And so I started going to church with them, and man, I tell you what, there was something that on the inside of me that was just, I was attracted to the Holy Spirit.
It wasn't that, just that pretty girl, was it?
It wasn't just a pretty girl. Yeah. There was something real in all that, and there was a great attraction. Jim, there will be a great attraction to the Holy Spirit because he is attractive.
Well, and the Scripture says Christ would draw men unto him.
That's right.
And that's the methodology used, is through the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And so I jumped in. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues, and gifts of the Spirit started working through me. But you know what? I had to get my mind renewed.
That's right. You had to get your mind straight.
That's right.
And you had to have the mind of Christ.
I had to get my mind to where I could accept that. And you know where I got it? I got it through the Scriptures. I saw it in the Scriptures. I saw that there was such a thing in the Scriptures. And I had never read those things in the Scriptures up until that time. And then I saw it, and I accepted it. And when it did, it opened up the flow through me, and I was filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit began to operate. And so that's the way it basically works. With any kind of revelation that you need for healing, for forgiveness of sin, whatever it is in your life, you get your mind renewed, and it releases the power of God out of your spirit into your being. And pow, things happen. Things start hopping. And so that's kind of how that all works. But, let's see how much time we got north. About 15 minutes. I want to talk about the heart just a little bit. And, you know, I'm kind of a basic guy. When I study, I don't get real complicated. I go to my Bible and I start looking up, words in the concordance, or in the concordance. And so when I want to look up, want to find out something about the heart, I just type it in on my phone. There's the word heart. And then I get all these scriptures I'm showing them to Jim because this is not a, we don't have TV.
Thank goodness we're not on television. But yes, there is a great number of them there.
So. Yeah. And they, it just starts out, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. And then the next one says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know, you are reading these things and you think, well, now, how can a man could commit adultery with a woman just in her heart and have committed adultery with her? And so you begin to see, hey, there's something about all this. It's a little different than just my human reasoning. And then you just read the next one. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so you start, you just keep on going. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. And all of a sudden, I've caught something right there.
Suddenly that tied together.
It does. It says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. And I see a differentiation between the soul
and heart.
And heart.
Yes.
So I've got a clue there. And it, then it goes on and it says, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I've got a big clue right there. Out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks. So can my, what I have on the inside of me in my heart, my mouth is going to speak that. And then it gives me another clue. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And it's talking about your heart. It's talking about a good man out of the good things of his heart and an evil man out of the evil things of his heart. And see, all of a sudden you're getting clues. What's going on in the heart? Good and evil. And then the next thing you get, it says, and remember what it says. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you start listening. How does it get out? How does the goodness and all that get out? It gets out through my mouth. And then here's another one. It says, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Now, the Bible says this. It says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So here we are, for this people's heart is waxed gross. That's God's description.
Yeah.
Waxed growth.
Yes, that's
gross.
His word.
That sound, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like an old ear that has, you know, you've ever seen it has all this hair on it.
Yeah,
has earwax running all out of it.
Yeah.
That's gross, isn't it? It says, and their ears are dull of hearing. I think there's a connection there. And their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart.
With their heart, yes.
And should be converted, and I should heal them. See, we're getting clues here. We're starting to get a picture. Understanding in the heart. And then after I go through all these, I go back and read them again and again. And then I start clicking on these and bringing up more scriptures and looking at the context. Telling everybody how I do this. It may be all wrong, but it's how I do it. And it says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, that's an interesting scripture right there, because it said earlier that from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. But here it says, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But those which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. And out of the heart proceeds adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. See, you already love him.
Yeah.
In your spirit, man. But in your heart, where the combination of the heart and the soul are, it says, thou shalt love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
So That's the complete train.
See, we're picking up little clues here about what your heart is. Let me read a few more of these. Let me go down. I've read all these. And I want to look in John. John's a little different. He's a little different.
He's kind of plain spoken, too.
So. Yeah, he's a little different cat. And the first one I want to look at is John 13:2. It says, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil put that in his heart. You know, I think there's things that the devil has put in my heart at times.
Yeah, that's his gateway.
Yeah. You know? I think I have to open that.
Yeah, I think so
door.
Too. Because we're told to guard our heart.
Yeah. With all diligence, out of it flow the issues of life.
That's right.
So then I found another scripture. I've read all these in between. There's a lot in Acts. I found some, the one about Simeon. Where was that one? Let me read this in Romans. So Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified. It's talking about people that got turned over to a reprobate mind. And it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That's your mind. Now, we're talking about how to open up your spirit, man, to be released into the world around us, into our soulish man, our body, and then the world around us. But look at this one. Became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, is this one right? Your imaginations, both good and bad, can either open up or close off your spirit, man.
That's right. We have that power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, that's another clue right there. We're just finding little clues here. I wanted to find this story about that guy that tried to buy. Let me read this one. I'm going to click on this. And this is a story about Philip and the eunuch. And Philip went out into the wilderness, and he was out there, and this eunuch came along who was an important guy, and he was riding in a chariot, and so he was reading a scroll. He was reading his Bible, basically, and he talked to Philip, and he wanted to know what was going on there. And he said, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Jesus, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, And so I, you know, the Bible talks about believing in your heart. Our famous scriptures in Mark 11, have faith in God. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe,
that believe. What you say will come to pass.
Yes. So here's the key to this is your heart is the seat of your belief. And see, when you mess with your heart and you get your heart messed up, well, then it shuts off your belief system. You don't have access to your belief system. And that's what it says there in Romans. And then here we are with talking to the eunuch. And the eunuch says, if thou believest with all thine heart, Philip understood that it was all about believing your belief system and your heart.
And your heart, yes.
He said, thou mayest, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So it's all about what I believe in my heart, what I believe inside of me is the deal. Now, I've got quite a bit more about the heart, but I'm going to stop because we're out of time. We're down to a minute and 39 seconds. But this heart thing is so important because that's where God looks at. That's what he checks on. He wants to know who you are in your heart. What do you believe? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about sin? What do you believe about righteousness? What do you believe about salvation? That's all in your heart. And that's where God looks. That's what he's examining. And so it's a very important subject. It's something that I think that we'll probably look at again sometime. And
I predict that's correct.
Yes, because
you get on a subject and we don't let it go, Mark. So
well, I hate to leave something kind of hanging.
Well,
was hanging chads and that?
That's the famous 2000 presidential election term.
Hanging chads hung in the balance.
Right,
and so hanging thoughts leave people in the balance. So. We'll probably be back.
So that means we'll pick this up again at another time. So,
yeah.
Very right.
So put your notes on the...
Right.
And we'll pick it back up.
We'll do.
Jim, we're out of time.
We are getting very close there, Mark. So.
Well, all I've got to say to finish it up is good night and God bless.
Good night, everyone, and we'll be back.